Well, I shared this morning in sunrise service that we're continuing with this series of messages called Truly This Was the Son of God. And this morning in sunrise, we shared a message that I called Three Distinct Days. And what we did there was we looked at the 3 days leading up to resurrection. So we looked at Jesus' crucifixion and how he was rejected by men. But even in that time of rejection, there were some who came to realize and some who came to know about who he really truly was. We talked about the revulsion that happened on that second day. We talked about how the religious leaders, even in Jesus' death, and you know, we often know that, you know, when someone dies, we take that time and we mourn for them, but not those religious leaders, because even in that time of Jesus' death, they reviled him so much that they wanted to do whatever they could to stop the message of who he was. And then we talked about the third day. We talked about the resurrection. We talked about the rejoicing that began among the women who had traveled to the tomb. And then she went and she told, they told the disciples that Jesus was risen from the dead. They went and they told that the Son of God was alive again. And so as we've looked at this series of messages through these last few weeks, we've saw all these messages that are pointing us to the Son of God. And we saw these messages that helped us to remember that our forgiveness comes from the Son of God. We heard God the Father speak about his Son in whom he was well pleased. We were able to see how other people came to know the Son, from Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman to him healing a blind man. And then we saw the Son of God working miracles, the greatest miracle of all, raising Lazarus to life again. And so this series of messages has all pointed us toward the Son of God. And we as Christians, we know who he is, and we know that he's been raised to new life again. And so this morning, you might look at the passage of Scripture that Scott read there, and you might say, well, that doesn't seem like much of an Easter morning service. But what I'd like to challenge you with today is I'd like to challenge you with, now that we know who the Son of God is, we need to go and tell that story. We need to go and tell that story to people that desire to know it, people that want to know it. And so as we look at Acts chapter 10 today, what we're going to see is we're going to see an example of a person, of a man who desired to know the truth. This was a man who knew a little bit about Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. And so he had this desire, but there needed to be someone to go and share who Christ was with him. And so we'll talk about one who had a desire to know. We'll talk about another who had a reluctance to go. And then when that one finally did go, and Scott read about his sermon, if you will, when Peter did go, it's almost like he said to them, "This is what I know." So my challenge to you this morning on Easter is, what do you know, and will you go and tell? And Peter, here in Acts chapter 10, he is being taken out of his comfort zone. And many times that's the reason why we don't speak up and tell what we know, because we're being asked to maybe go out of our comfort zone. Peter's going out of his comfort zone because he's going from preaching to the Jews, preaching to his people, to being asked to preach to the Gentile world that Jesus is the Son of God. Hopefully you still have your Bibles open, and we're going to spend a lot of time this morning in Acts chapter 10. We're going to go back to the beginning of that chapter, to verse 1, and we're going to read about this man who has a desire to know. His name is Cornelius. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." I'd like to take a minute and talk about this man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a soldier. He was a centurion. We believe that he was a leader of approximately 100 men. But God's word goes on and tells us more here about this man. He's not just a soldier, but he's a devout man, according to the book of Acts. He's a man that feared God. And not only him, but the people in his household, they feared God. He was a giver. The word says that he was a giver of alms, and also that he prayed to God. And it doesn't say he just prayed. It says that he prayed always. Now, J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary on the book of Acts, he makes an observation about Cornelius. And I want you to listen to this, and I want you to hear it. Because J. Vernon McGee, he's the kind of guy that he's not afraid to kind of pour water on a situation. And so we read about this man, Cornelius, and then J. Vernon McGee makes this comment. He says, in America today, Cornelius would pass for a Christian. A Christian of the highest degree, an outstanding man. And I want you to think about that. Because many people, they identify themselves as Christians because of their outward appearance, because of the things that they do. And so we read about Cornelius, this devout man, this one who feared God, this one who prayed. And J. Vernon McGee says, in America today, he would come across as he seemed like a Christian. But McGee finishes his statement by saying, but he actually was not a Christian. And so events are going to start to take place here in this man's life. And we read there in those first six verses that God speaks to Cornelius through an angel. And God, he recognized Cornelius as a good man. And this angel said to Cornelius, he said, "Your alms and your prayers, they have come up as a memorial before God." But there's something missing. There's something that's not complete here, because while this man's a good man, he's a good man that's not a Christian. He's not a Christ follower. He doesn't know about who Jesus really is. So the angel says to him, you need to send men to Joppa, and you need to look for a man by the name of Simon Peter. Now look at verse 8, because in verse 8, what we see here is we see Cornelius, who was a leader of men. He was used to giving the orders. In a way, he's received orders, and he's also a good soldier, because in verse 8, so when he had explained all these things to them, Cornelius is telling these servants what they are to do, he sent them to Joppa. You know, it seems kind of strange to me that this leader, a guy that's used to giving orders, he's taking them, he's following through, and we might wonder why. As we're going to see here, as we go through this account in Acts chapter 10 this morning, this man had a desire to know. He had a desire to know the truth. And Warren Wiersbe says that he knew that his religious devotion, it was not sufficient to save him. So unlike a lot of people in the world today, he realized that he wasn't going to get by on his accomplishments. He realized that he wasn't going to get by just being a good man, just being a devout man, just being a just man. He knew that he needed something more, and he had a desire to know. Now God is going to speak to another. And the other that he's going to speak to is going to be Peter. And for as great as Cornelius' desire is to know, Peter is going to be that much reluctant to go. Because God's going to be asking him, like I said a little bit earlier, to step out of his comfort zone and to do something that just was not comfortable to him. Now we go to Acts 10, verse 9. And Cornelius had a vision. Now Peter's going to have one. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. We reflected on who Cornelius was. Now let's reflect a little bit on Peter. Think about Peter. Peter was the rock. Jesus said to him that he would be the rock on which he would build his church. Peter, throughout the book of Acts up to this point, I'm going to call him a preacher to the Jews, because he came out and he preached Christ and he preached his resurrection to the Jews so that they might believe and so that they might know who Jesus really was. Peter was also confrontational. He was willing to confront the religious leaders of the day. He was willing to put them on the spot and to tell them that they were the ones who had crucified Jesus and nailed him to the tree. But yet that same Peter is also the one that we know that denied Christ three times. That same Peter, who has all these positive characteristics and who has been willing to preach and share and put people on the spot, he is very reluctant for his next mission, and he has to be prodded. He has to be encouraged. He has to be goaded to go and tell the story of Jesus Christ to the Gentile nation. To do that, God uses a vision. So two men, two visions, two very different visions here, because in Peter's vision, he has this vision of things that are clean and things that are unclean. Somebody called it the beasts, the birds, and the bugs. That was the vision that he had here. And in that vision, God's command to Peter was to kill and to eat of those things. And Peter immediately, as we read there in the scriptures, resisted. And he said, "No, Lord, I can't do that." There was something really interesting that stuck out to me. Did you notice how many times Peter had this vision and how many times he resisted what God was telling him to do? It was three. I don't think that's a coincidence, because Peter had denied Christ three times. When Peter encountered the risen Savior, Jesus said to Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And now, three times again, Peter is being challenged on this idea that it's okay for him to take this food and to eat it. The Nelson Study Bible says that food may have been his first consideration, but Peter would soon understand the greater message, because the message wasn't about him taking this food and eating this food. The message was truly about his association, being willing to come out of his comfort zone of speaking just to the Jews and preaching the message of Jesus to them and taking that message to a Gentile world, to a Gentile nation that needed to hear that. Look at verses 19 and 20 now, as we kind of see where Peter is in all this. In verse 19, "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you.'" So Peter's still trying to figure out what this vision all means, what it's all about. And in the middle of that, he gets a word that three men, those three men that Cornelius had sent, they are coming to him. In verse 20, "Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." I love the scriptures, and I love how in the scriptures people were told to do things that's just completely opposite of what they were thinking and what they were feeling. We saw that this morning, you know, when the angel spoke to the women who were at the tomb, and you know, they experienced an earthquake, and they saw these guards that were frozen like dead people, and the angel said to them, "Fear not." Well, that had to be their what their feeling was. And here in this vision, as Peter's trying to figure out what all this means, he is told, go with these three guys that you've never seen before and doubt nothing. If it were me, I'd be doubting everything. But we see that Peter is reluctant. He's concerned about what this all means. There's a man that wants to go, but Peter is a guy who's reluctant to go. And the Spirit speaks to him and says, go and doubt nothing. As we go on with all this encounter, Peter is going to go reluctantly. And I want you to notice, we'll pick up in verse 24 now, how this encounter begins. And if Peter had doubts about going, the way things start, well, they don't start too well. They're actually pretty awkward when Peter arrives on the scene here at the house of Cornelius. In verse 24, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Peter, who was reluctant to go, Peter, who was coming out of his comfort zone, he walks into Cornelius' house, and immediately this guy falls down and starts to worship Peter like he's some sort of a god. And Peter probably thought, what am I getting myself into here? Who am I dealing with? That this guy would fall down and worship me, but Peter says, stand up, and I can almost see him like pulling him up by the shoulders to get up off the ground, and he says to him, I'm just a man, you don't worship me. And we go on there, verse 27, as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. You see, it's not just Cornelius, but there's a whole room full of people that are waiting for Peter to get there. I want you to think about the confidence that those people had to have. The confidence that Peter was even going to show up. Cornelius had a vision. These people didn't know about Peter's vision, but based on a vision, Cornelius had sent for Peter, a man who he didn't even know, and there's a house full of people waiting on Peter to show up. And we read there, then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? Here we really see that Peter's not quite convinced. He's not quite convinced about what he's doing there. He says that he came without objection, but I think he came with a lot of reluctance. He came with a lot of reluctance. And imagine if this were you and me. We get this vision. Three people show up to take us somewhere. We really don't know where we're going. We walk into this person's house, and the head of the house falls down on his feet, tries to worship us. And then we go around a corner and we look at a room, and here's all these people sitting waiting on us. Imagine how you would feel. I know how I'd feel. It would definitely be awkward. And if I were reluctant to go in the first place, I'd kind of be like Peter. Because Peter says to them, I need to know why I'm here. Why did these three people come and get me? What is the reason why I'm here? Look at verse 33, because in verse 33, Cornelius isn't reluctant in telling Peter why he's come. Cornelius said, so I sent to you immediately, talking about after having that vision, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. What would you do If somebody said to you, I want to know what you know about Jesus. Because that's really what Cornelius was asking here. He says to him, I sent for you immediately because God told me to bring you here. Chuck Swindoll says it highlights the Lord's central role in bringing this meeting together. When it comes to spiritual things, there aren't coincidences. It's God that puts these things in order. It's God that orders these things so that Cornelius and Peter are meeting here at this time. Cornelius says, I want to hear all the things commanded to you by God. He wants to know the truth. Because remember, there's things that are missing in Cornelius' life. He's a good man. He's a giver. He's a prayer. But there's pieces that are missing. Cornelius has the desire to know. Peter has a reluctance to go. And even now, he's not quite sure. But this man has said, will you tell me what you know about Jesus? And now we go to verse 34, which is where Scott started for us a little earlier. And I want you to hear this again. Because I kind of describe this as Peter opening his mouth and heaven coming down. God knew the desire that Cornelius and his household had. And it's just a matter of whether Peter is going to be willing to be the instrument that God would want to use so that these people might come to know what Peter knew. And so Peter is basically going to say, all right, you want to know? This is what I know. In verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had also been poured out on the Gentiles also. Remember where we started. We started with a man who wanted to know, and another who was reluctant to go. And look at the reward and look at the blessing that's going to flow out of this one going and telling what he did know. Peter began here by saying, I believe that God shows no partiality. I don't think Peter believed that before he showed up there that day. I don't think he believed that until he saw that vision. Because that vision was teaching him, it was trying to tell him that it was okay for him to take that message and to go and to share that with the Gentile world. Peter continued in this message, this preaching that he's doing here, and he says that he kind of sees that Cornelius and his house, they knew something of Christ. That's the reason why Cornelius was a good man. He was a good man because there were things he knew that he should be doing. There were ways that he knew he should be living his life. He should be willing to give. He should be willing to pray. But there was something missing. And so Peter goes through, and the piece that was missing was the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he talked to him, going clear back to Jesus' baptism, and he talked about Jesus' healings, and he talked about the things that Jesus had done, and he talked about how, yes, that Jesus was nailed to that cross, that he was killed on Calvary's tree, and then on that third day, he rose up and he came up out of the grave. Peter didn't say it this way, but it would go along with what we've been talking about these last few weeks. Peter could have said, truly, this was the Son of God. This is the one that God sent to be a salvation for all who would choose to believe. I found it interesting in there, as you look back at Peter's words, that he was given the command. He and the disciples were given the command to preach the word of truth to all people, but yet there was a whole group of people here that had not heard about Jesus yet. And Peter goes, and he responds. He responds with what he knew to tell those that had a desire to hear it. And did you notice there? It's in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking. Chuck Swindoll says, Peter never actually got to finish his sermon. He never was able to get done. And I'd be perfectly happy with not finishing the sermon if the Holy Spirit would show up like it did here. I'd get out of the way, and that's what Peter did. Because before he ever got finished preaching that sermon, the Holy Spirit came. And look at what happened. I mean, yes, we see what happened to Cornelius and his household, but the Jews that came along with Peter, I mean, their mouths are gaped open, they're looking around, they can't believe it because the Holy Spirit has come to the land of the Gentiles. And it came because Peter was finally willing to go. He was willing to go, and through Peter's sermon and through the Spirit's leading, look at what happened. We can kind of skip down to verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized. Baptized in the name of the Lord, then they asked him to stay a few days. I'd like you to turn now back to the book of Matthew. To Matthew chapter 28. And as you turn back there, we're going to look at the last three verses of that chapter. But I want you to think about what Peter was doing here as he went to the house of Cornelius. He was willing to go. And once he got there, he shared the message of Jesus Christ. Essentially, what he did was he made disciples of Cornelius and his household. And once they were made disciples, and once through the power of the Holy Spirit, they came to know who Jesus was, Peter said, we can go ahead and baptize these folks because they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also read there that Peter stayed a few days, and I believe in that time he filled in the gaps and he taught them more about who Jesus was. And if you see where I'm going here, what Peter did, as he went and told them, as he went and shared what he knew, he really was carrying out that great commission. That great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples before he left the earth and before he ascended back into heaven. Peter fulfilled that command. He did it reluctantly. And we can be honest and we can admit that this morning. But I want to challenge you today with what we know. We come here this morning and we celebrate Easter. We know that he is risen and he is risen indeed. But are we willing to go and are we willing to tell that to people that might have a desire to really know about who Jesus is? Look at those last three verses. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And we can say this morning, you know what, Mac? That was Christ's command to his disciples. That was his command to the 11 that remained, that they were supposed to do these things. But do you not call yourself as a believer in Christ this morning? Do you not call yourself a disciple, a follower of Christ? This command to go and to tell, it's not just for those 11. Because if it was just for those 11, Christianity would have never gone anywhere. They'd have went and told that first generation of Christians, and then the first generation of Christians would say, well, it's not up to me to go and tell. And Christianity would have died right there on the spot. So we can't say that this command was only for them. It's for us too. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's just take Acts chapter 10. And let's think about, what if Peter would have said, you know what, Lord, I'm not going. I can't go to those Gentiles. I can't go to people that aren't like me and share that message of truth. Now we can say, well, you know, and we can make the argument that, well, if Peter hadn't gone, somebody else would have gone. Somebody else would have stepped in and filled that gap. But this was Peter's call. This was what Peter was commanded to do in that moment. And so as we think about Peter and the what if question, what if he had not gone? I'd like for us to think about ourselves. And I'd like for us to think about how many moments that we've missed. How many times that we've had that opportunity to share what we know, to go and to tell, and for reasons of reluctance or otherwise, we didn't. How many times have we missed our call? How many times have we missed our opportunities? I want to challenge you this morning to be looking out for those Corneliuses in our lives. We come together to celebrate Easter. But you know, if we celebrate it today and then don't think about it tomorrow, we might miss opportunities where we can tell what we know and help others to see who Jesus is. J. Vernon McGee puts it this way. He says, wherever there's a man who seeks after God as Cornelius did, that man is going to hear the gospel and the grace of God. God will see that he gets it. And Peter was the instrument. Peter was the one who went and told what he knew to a man who desired to know. And I wonder, would we want to be that person that said, well, you know what? Nah, I don't think I'm going to do that today. If we denied that opportunity to go and tell another about who he was, we'd be missing that chance to be used by God to be that instrument and to let other people know who Jesus really is. The story of Easter, it's not just about an empty tomb. It's about the story of an empty tomb being told by others so that more and more might be added to the kingdom of heaven. That's what we see happening here in Acts chapter 10. Peter tells the story. Peter goes and tells them what he knows, and many are saved. Peter did that with the Jews, and now he's doing it with the Gentiles. It should be a challenge. It should be an encouragement to us that we know. Now, will we go and tell? And will we go and tell, just like a Roman guard said, that truly, this is the Son of God, the one who's risen, the one who brings new life to those that choose to believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word and for your truth. Lord, we pray that that word might speak to us this morning and that it might challenge our hearts. Lord, we want to thank you for what today means. Today is our opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, the one you sent to be given in our place, to be a sacrifice so that we might overcome sin and death. Lord, help us to be grateful for that gift that you've given to us. Lord, we know that as believers. We know that as Christians. Now, Lord, give us the opportunities to go and tell. To go and tell that your Son, well, he's just that. He's truly the Son of God. We thank you for sending him. We thank you for his resurrection. We thank you for his power, for his grace, and for his saving power so that we might be free. We praise you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.